Matthew chapter 22. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, having not a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to his servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. What is the meaning of that? You know? What is the meaning of that? Do they even really talk about that anymore? Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few choose God. No. God calls many, but only few are chosen. Because the call of God, the gospel of God goes out. Jesus Christ, crucified. Believe in him. And the Jews, the meaning of the parable is very simple, at least in the initial section, that the Jews didn't believe him. And they slew his servants, Christ and his apostles. And the king was wroth, and he sent his armies. This would represent the Roman armies, which destroyed the city of Jerusalem around 70 AD and burned it to the ground. That which they were so afraid was going to be taken away. Their fears came on them. So he had bidden them to the guests. He'd called the Jews by sending Messiah to them. And only very few of them received him. I mean, in the parable, they rejected him. Because as a whole, that's the way it's looked at. Go out to the highways. Go to the Gentiles. Go to people who are not really thought of as wedding guests. Just start finding random people. Instead of picking my subjects, who would have been, you know, the landowners, the business owners, the big people, the important people, the Jews. Rather, go out to the people who are the scum of the earth, at least in the sight of the way things have been done so far, the Gentiles. And among the Jews who didn't matter, you know, the fishermen, the publicans and the harlots, the most religious people were the least likely to receive Christ. At least they were religious in a worldly way, meaning the world observed them to be religious. It doesn't mean that God observed them to be religious. But the world would say, well, that was a very pious man. He's very interested in religion. Doesn't necessarily mean that inwardly God saw some sort of depth of connection between him and that person. There's a lot of pious and religious people out there. But what man honors is not necessarily what God honors. They were bidden because they believed in the covenants. They were trying to follow the covenants of God. They were trying to be obedient to the law. And so the promise is, because they outwardly should have been the ones to believe them. So the wedding is furnished with guests. And that's kind of the situation we're in now. That the church is filled with people. You know, it's a great event that people are to be brought to take part in, to enjoy the fruits of it. Salvation is a marvelous and wonderful thing. You know, the idea of eternal life. The idea of becoming an inheritor with God. Here it's portrayed as being a guest at a wedding. You're invited to the party, Believe on him. Receive him. Right? The gospel goes forth. It's preached to people. People say, okay, and they come. But then when the king comes, this is a picture of the return of Christ. He sees someone there without a wedding garment. And this answers to all those scriptures where he says, I will say to many in that day, or many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Because those that work iniquity are those that have not on a wedding garment. You know, they were given unto them white raiment. It says in the book of Revelation, and the white raiment represents the righteousness of saints. We are not to appear with spotty garments or with our own garments. I was referring to this a little in the past couple studies, that you can't just, you know, they say, come as you are. Yes, you appear, you come as you are. You come as you are initially. When you are called, the initial response is, I'll come. Not like, well, I need to do all these things first before I'm worthy to be invited. You're invited. You don't need to do anything to be invited. But once invited, well, you have to appear at the wedding. And when you appear at the wedding, you have to have on a wedding garment. Because that is the result. The reward is the results. You know, he has given us these great and exceeding precious promises that by these promises, we may be partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter chapter 1. We are to partake of the divine nature. We are to put on Christ and be built up into him. So we need to be clothed with something other than our street clothes. We may have been off the street when we were bidden, but when we come to the feast, we have to be dressed properly. We have to be clothed in his righteousness. And people say, well, that's righteousness that is imputed when we believe. Well, if that's the case, then this man has, why is he in the parable? He believed, obviously. He answered the summons. He came to the wedding. Whence hath he not a wedding garment? Because a wedding garment is not the emperor's new clothes. Imaginary clothes that can only be seen by the wisest, because that is how the churches teach righteousness. They teach righteousness as a form of emperor's new clothes. They teach it that it is, oh, you know, you only those who understand the doctrine can see how we are righteous. Because you have to be wise to understand that righteousness is only an imputed quality, meaning it's not something that you actually perform. It is something that is only looked at, like God looks at you with rose-colored goggles, whereby he only sees you as righteous. You know, you might be doing something wicked, but he looks at you and he says, Jesus, righteous. And see, what they've done, they've perverted the doctrine of the imputation, because God does impute righteousness to us before we do the works, meaning he begins to treat with us as righteous, even while we are yet